Welcome to church. If you're new here, we're glad that you're here. And we really want you to be part of this place. We like this church. Those who go here, we like being here. We like being part of it. We like being here on Sunday. We like meeting with people outside of Sunday. We like doing things for this city. We like seeing the valley changed. And we think all of those things are aspects of church. We like to do all of those things. We want to be on mission. We want to be life-giving. We want our workplaces to be changed because of who we are. We want our families to be changed because of who we are. We want to see great things happen all over this valley because of what we're doing and who we serve, Jesus Christ. And so that's church for us. And so welcome here. If you just showed up here, welcome here. I hope you get to know someone today. Last week I told you that the person who will definitely meet you when you're here was Pastor George, and that's his seat right there, and he's not here right now. So it's going to be tough, but try to meet someone today. Pastor George, actually, I guess I must have said too many nice things about him, because then he got picked up by another church this week. And no, he's down. I hope most of you are here recently. Pastor Lisa was here helping us with transition. Does everyone remember Pastor Lisa? Yeah. We are, and I wasn't even here for that transition, but I know that I am so thankful for who she is. We've had a lot of chances to chat since and then, I'm so thankful for who she is. We're going to pray for their church today because Pastor George is down there preaching, so they're going to need a lot of prayer. Oh, just kidding. He's not here, so I can say those things. Now, we're going to pray for them. Pastor George is a unit supervisor for Foursquare. He's a really special guy in this whole country. And so we're thankful for who he is and what he's doing here, but also for the district of Foursquare. And so Pastor Lisa invited him to come down and preach at their church because they're having an anniversary today. And so Compass Church in Nanaimo is having an anniversary, and we just want to be praying for them and encouraging them. So would you just join me for a moment praying for them and praying for Pastor George as he's there? Lord, thank you that you have a great and mighty plan, and you want to carry it out. Thank you for great leaders like Pastor Lisa and Pastor George. I just ask that you would do an incredible work through them today. Lord, I pray for salvations today. I pray that at Compass Church today, while they're celebrating the time that they've had, I pray that people would come to know you today, Jesus, and then heaven would rejoice with that church today. Lord, we ask that you would speak through Pastor George. We ask that his words would be clear, that they'd be passionate, and that you would give him just a sense of your empowering today. Lord, just as I pray for myself today, I pray that whatever he says that is not from you would just not be heard, and whatever he doesn't say that is from you would be heard somehow through your Spirit. Lord, today in the same way here, whatever I say that's not from you, let it not be heard. But God, the things that I say that are from you, I just ask that our hearts would be ready to hear from you today. Let us be ready. Let Compass Church be ready for what you want to speak to us now and in the coming days about who you want us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in a series called Church. Mostly, I told you last week, because I just don't have much more creative juice than that. Church is the best sermon series I could come up with. But we're in this series for the next few weeks. And church is just about us talking about what is church. We all come here, you're all here, so I'm not trying to convince you about what is church, but we're all here and we got to figure out now, what are we actually doing? What are we actually trying to carry out? We want to talk about how do we reach the most people and disciple, make followers of Jesus, of the most people most effectively. And so we're trying to figure out how to do that. And so we're walking that through for 4 weeks. We're talking about the idea of growing small. Last week, primarily, we talked about how, yeah, we can come here and gather, and this is a good thing, but there are some things that can't happen in this room. Relationships are kind of hard to build with 350 people every Sunday, seeing once a week. You know, it's sort of hard to build tight relationships. It's also hard to find missions that can support 350 people just going and serving them. And so we recognize some things are done better in small groups, and so we want to be able to walk that out. So last week we talked about growing small. This week we're talking about growing big. Next week we'll be talking about the pastor. You know, what am I doing here? What are we thinking about? What do we want to be thinking about our staff and our pastors and our leadership and councils? What does that look like? And then the following week, we'll be talking about the people. This all came from quite a while ago. I wrote a paper after talking to a number of different pastors. And sort of we discovered as I surveyed them that if a church can do four things, they're probably going to disciple people well. If they can inspire them, if there's some level of inspiration through the Holy Spirit, through preaching, through seeking God together, through shared stories, through celebration. If we can inspire people, if we can educate them, if we can give them opportunity at relationship, and if we can give them opportunity for application. Inspiration, education, relation, and application. Well, last week we started and said, let's grow small. I have a confession. I want to grow big in this church. I don't know if anyone's with me. Is anyone with me on that? Does anybody want to see more lives changed? I just think growing big is a good goal for us. I think seeing more people come to know Jesus is a good goal for us. And I'm not just talking about our church, but as we seek to see the valley worshiping Jesus, as we seek to lift up Jesus' name in the valley, I'm pretty sure that this church is going to grow as well as all the other churches in the valley. I'm pretty sure we're all going to see something special. We're all going to see something, some kind of movement. And I just can't imagine that God would want to move and some great things would happen and it would all be just, well, now we have really strong relationships and now we do some really nice things for other people. I believe Jesus is going to bring more people into saving grace. I believe Jesus is going to bring more people to Himself, that we'll see great movements. Many, many people will come to know Jesus and realize what living is really all about. And so I want to grow big. And I confess that because sometimes people actually, we've moved away from the idea of growing big in church. People have been hurt by church. I know that sometimes. I know sometimes things aren't handled all that well. Sometimes when we gather together, we can sort of get just kind of lazy with our faith, and we can just forget what we're actually doing about it. And so some people have been hurt, so they've said, well, we're actually just going to do small groups. We're just going to do relationships. Because since we can't do relationships on Sunday, we're going to go do it somewhere else. So we started there last week because I want you to recognize that this isn't enough. But just because Sunday gathering isn't enough, it doesn't mean it's nothing. Just because us coming together isn't enough for us and we need some relationships outside of here, it doesn't mean we have nothing when we come here. In fact, we have a whole lot here. There's something really special here. And I want to see this more. I want to see us doing many services on a Sunday. I want to see us have to have a bigger building because we can't fit in here. I'd love to see more chairs and greater things. You know, I'd love to see that. And so we're going to fight for that as well. Because just because we find something good doesn't make everything else bad. Right? That's what some people have started to do with small groups. People start to say, well, that's it. We're done with big church. We're just going to go and meet in a home group. And that's it. And we're just going to meet with our friends and hang out there. And there we won't be offended. And there we'll know everyone. And there nothing bad will happen. And we'll just be able to recognize that we're teaching the right thing and that pastor's not doing the wrong thing. And we'll be able to grow things ourselves. And the big movement has said, we need to get away from the large gathering. We need to get in just to small groups. And that's it. But to me, that's an unbalanced perspective on church. To me, that's missing something so special about what can happen in this place. It misses something so great about what can happen here. I was thinking about this concept this week. And what would that look like in any other aspect of life? Imagine yourself, you're making dinner one night, and you know, you've got I don't know what it is. When I'm sort of, for some reason, I'm roasted chicken. And it's been that way this whole week. Every time I've thought about making something in the kitchen, it's roasted chicken. When really, probably it's macaroni and cheese when I'm making it. And there's not, or toast. Toast with Nutella, if I can. You know, that's me. But anyways, roasted chicken, you know, you get your, you've steamed your broccoli, you're doing all the things, you've used your oven, and the fridge has kept all your food cold, and you've got cupboards with all the cooking utensils, and a microwave for all the men, and I didn't even write that one down, that was good. And you're doing all of those things. Everything looks good. Oh, and then after you have a sink to clean it up, maybe even a dishwasher. You have all the stuff to take care of things in the kitchen. And then you're finished making the meal. And you say, wow, this kitchen is sure good for making meals. That must mean the rest of my house is useless. That doesn't make sense. Like, okay, I don't need the bathroom anymore. You know, what does that look like? That's not a good scene. If all of a sudden we say, the kitchen is the best place for making food, and so I don't need the rest of my house because this kitchen is serving a purpose. Small groups are going to serve a purpose, but just because they serve a purpose doesn't mean there's no purpose anywhere else. There's some purpose here. There's a lot of purpose here. Consider maybe if you decide after a meal you're eating dessert. Like, this is the first point in this meal where I've satisfied my sweet tooth. Some people love dessert. So since this is the only part of the meal that's satisfying my sweet tooth, I'm going to go ahead and not eat the rest of the meal anymore, and I'm just going to eat desserts in my life. We learn when we're kids that's not the best plan. We learn that that's not the best idea. It's not that good for sustaining us. The same way, if we decide that one thing has a purpose and throw out everything else, we miss all the other purposes that all of those things brought together. Some of you work out at the gym. I don't know if Pete and Tom are here, but those guys work out at the gym. And when you go to the gym, there's always actually, if you go on social media, you'll see these memes from time to time. And these memes, they're basically just funny things that come up. And once in a while, you'll see this one that says, why you should not skip leg day. And you'll see these massive, you know, these huge guys with big biceps, big shoulders, big back, big everything. And then their legs are just tiny. And I'll be like, look how strong I am. As long as I wear, you know, baggy pants, it looks like I'm really strong. And that's the same way at the gym. Sometimes, like if I said, wow, I really like having big biceps, which I wouldn't know, but I really like having big biceps. And so I'm going to not do leg day anymore. I'm not going to do any other workout than that which gives me big biceps. You would look ridiculous, right? We don't throw out everything else because one thing is good. This is good. Gathering like this is good. Gathering in small groups is good. Doing mission as a whole church is good. Doing mission as small groups is good. We're going to do it all. As a church, we're going to fight to do all of those things. We're going to try to have the great large gathering. We're going to try to have great small group networks. We're going to try to do both of those. And when great small group networks are happening, then they come to church and there's so much more to celebrate. And then when we come together and celebrate, we leave here and there's so much more to talk about in our small groups and so much more to do. And then we can specialize in different areas and we can start impacting different people in the valley, in different areas in the valley, in different families, in different workplaces, because small groups can have specific mission and large gatherings can have greater impact as we carry out other mission. We're both. And so we're going to grow small and we're going to grow large. Small groups are primarily best for relationship and application. Of the four things that I said, relationship and application, small groups can probably do those better than anywhere else. But I think this is where, and when years ago when I thought this through, what is this all about? The greatest thing that this can do for us is inspire us to carry on our next week. As we come together, there's something inspirational that happens. I don't know about you, but when we all worship together and Jana sort of pulls back from the microphone and I hear a whole lot of people singing the same thing, I see a whole lot of people with their hands raised, I see a whole lot of people being passionate about the same thing, I get excited about that. Something that gets going in me. I mean, I've been in living rooms and I've sung with people and that's great and that's special. But when you get here and the voices are louder than actually the people singing on the microphones, I don't know if you've ever been at a conference, but I've been at a conference where the voices of the people actually got louder than those on the microphones with massive speakers, the people overpowered. I love that. That's inspiring to me. I know it doesn't say in the Bible, once all the voices are loud, you'll be inspired to live out like Jesus lives out. But I've felt it. I've experienced it. And probably some of you have experienced the same thing. That's okay. It's okay for us to come together and get excited about when we get together, we're going to inspire each other. We're going to spur each other on. We're going to encourage each other to greatness. We're going to push one another to great things. And so I want to talk about three things that I think are more inspirational in this gathering. They're more inspirational in a larger gathering than they sometimes are with a smaller gathering. The first one is reality. Reality is much more inspirational. The reality of what Jesus is doing is more inspirational as we're all together like this. Because sometimes we stroll into church. I don't know about you. Sometimes you come to church and you're just kind of tired, right? Just kind of feeling worn out. Maybe life has got you down. Maybe some difficult things have been happening in your life, or you're overwhelmed by all the news of bad things that are happening all over the world. And you sort of come into church and you think, I guess this is the world I live in. It's all bad. And it's not good, and there's nothing exciting, nothing life-giving, and I guess this is just what we do, and I guess this is just who we are. I guess this is just what I have to endure until I get to heaven. And then you walk in the door, and maybe someone has a story about something incredible that happened in their week. The reality is God's moving outside of just you, but He's actually moving in a whole lot of people. The more people we get in, the more stories we get to share. More people we come together, the better chance there is that something incredible happened in someone's life this week. Because when all of us come together, there may be a whole bunch of people that are just kind of down and tired out and just feeling like they're overwhelmed. But someone is going to have something. Someone's going to say, no, actually, I know all of that's there, but God this week performed a miracle. But God this week changed a life. But God this week moved and impacted me in a great way. I need to tell you about it. One person, like yeast and bread, one person could go ahead and change the entire atmosphere of this room if they would just come with a story of what God is doing in their life. And so when we come this many people together, and in fact more than this together, the chances of us having a pretty incredible story of what God is doing in a life are pretty good. So reality becomes more inspirational to us. Seeing God in a new way. Seeing a new perspective on things. This happened in Acts 12 when Peter shared a story with people. He thought it was important to go and share a story with some of his friends and some of the people who were praying for him. So what happened is that Peter and some of the other apostles, they were just talking about Jesus, and they kept getting arrested and things kept happening. But there's this one time when Peter's stuck in prison. We're going to talk about that quickly in Acts 12. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church, I love it, was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. It's pretty cool. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, also pretty nifty, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent His angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." Once Peter realizes this, then he sort of goes, "Now what do I do with this news? What should I do now? Chains just fell off me. A gate just opened before me. Guards slept through me breaking out of prison with two shiny angels. What am I going to do with this information?" He quickly runs over. I imagine him sprinting to the place where the church is praying. He says, "I have something for you, church. I have something for you." Imagine the church. I don't think the church prayer would have been exciting at that point. They were probably mourning. "Lord, give us strength, even though this is hard, even though this is brutal. Give us strength. I'm worn out. We're getting persecuted left, right, and center. But give us strength." Knock, knock, knock. It says someone goes and checks the door and says, runs away. She runs away, goes back into the house and says, "Peter's at the door." And they're like, "Well, I don't think so. Don't you hear our morning prayers here? We're sad. We're down. Peter's in prison." She says, "Well, but he's also at the door, so it's pretty crazy. What's going on here?" But like, "Okay, well, here, well, maybe we'll check. In fact, we probably should, because he's still standing outside if he's actually at the door." And so they go back to the dorm, and Peter walks in. because he wanted to tell them. He said, Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, he said, and then he left for another place. Peter had another place to go, but he decides it's better for me to go and tell them what's just happened, because when I tell them what just happened, people are going to be encouraged, their prayer life is going to be changed, their faith is going to be excited, and actually, don't just stop there, I have to leave, but go tell James, go tell the others, go tell the brothers and sisters who've been praying, because we need to share the story so we spur each other on to more faith. This is what Peter comes and does. He says, my life was changed just now. Herod was going to probably come out and kill me, and chains fell off my hand, and an iron gate opened up, and shiny angels didn't wake up the two guards or the sentries that were guarding me. And so I just need to tell you that, because I have more work to do, but I needed to stop and tell you that. We're going to work hard as a church in the coming months to make known the testimonies that are in this body. Because in here, there's a lot of incredible testimonies, not just of 20 years ago and 10 years ago, and my grandpa had this testimony and this happened. No, God is doing things in lives right now. And we need to hear them. We need to start to share those. We need to start to allow that to happen. In fact, we need to get those stories on our website. We need the city to see those. We need some of those things to start coming up, because as we share the stories, we inspire one another. Reality becomes better. Becomes more inspirational when we gather together. I remember I've done a lot of camps. I've spoken at several camps and directed a couple. And always, without fail, at these camps with youth, there'll be some youth that comes up to me like, I can't believe that person's here. I can't believe that. If you knew how cool that person is in my school, Christians aren't supposed to be cool. They actually say that. It's kind of sad, but. I always say, well, didn't you know I was a Christian? I don't understand where we've gotten here. But someone always comes up to me and says, I can't believe that person's here. They go to my school. I'm like, let's go talk to them. Let's go. I never go talk to them. No. You guys are going to be in heaven together. You better figure out what you're going to do on earth together right now. And so we'd walk over together and we'd start talking like, I go to your school. And I'll be like, okay, yeah, that's great. And then I'll say, so you guys need to figure out what you're going to do for your school, because where two or more are gathered, the Lord is with you. When two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, the Lord is with you. So if the Lord is with you and you gather in His name, how are you gathering in His name? And all of a sudden these prayer groups start up, or these things start up in schools where we see incredible things happen. Because, and that would have never happened if all of those people just kept in their small groups. When we gather together in a camp or convention shows up, people start saying, whoa, reality is changing. My perspective is changing. Things look different. That person who I never would have expected to be a Christian is a Christian. And now we get to move forward. That's what happens when we gather together. Reality shifts. Things start looking different for us. Reality becomes more inspirational as we gather together. The second is discovery becomes more inspirational when we gather together. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and in a couple other sections actually about us being the body of Christ. That each of us has a specific purpose. And you look around the room, every single person in this room has a purpose in the body of Christ. And it's different than every other person's purpose in this room. All to glorify God and all through His Holy Spirit. But all different. It's incredible how that works. And when we start gathering together, we can start to see who does what. And what dreams someone has that they can't fulfill until I show up and take part in it. Or what God has laid on someone's heart. It's often that God lays something on your heart and you think, I don't know how I'm ever going to do that. I often say that there's no dream. Like the greatest dreams are the ones that we couldn't carry out on our own, but we need God and others to work towards. Because God wants both of those things to happen. He wants us to rely on Him and He wants us to rely on others. My finger is pretty incapable of doing things without my hand, right? My hand without my arm. And vice versa, my arm without, you know, they just need to work together. When we come together, we start to see, what is the need? Where do I fit? I actually have a role. It's incredible to realize. You don't have to be everything, and that you don't get to be nothing. In church, you don't have to be everything. That's pretty neat. But you also don't get to be nothing. When we gather together, you realize that you have a specific role that someone else isn't going to carry out, or at least not as successfully as you could. I one time had this guy come and help me in youth ministry. And he was not a good youth leader. he was just super... He was a very cool guy. When he came and talked to me and said, I want to be a youth leader, I thought, wow, you're as cool as me. So he probably can be one. I said, this is really awesome. This guy is really cool. The youth will really love him. This is going to be so good. Everyone's going to like him because he's just one of those cool guys. And so he starts doing youth ministry, and it was clear that he wasn't able to relate with youth pretty quick. That no one really wanted to relate with him either. And so he sat in the corner being really cool on his own. And so he wasn't all that great at doing this. He wasn't all that great at being a youth leader, but he wanted to serve Jesus and figure that out. And we started gathering together, and we'd do youth worship together at that point. And we had just gone through a transition, and our youth worship did not sound like it sounds this morning. Like, this was really good. Our youth worship was not this. We went through a couple different leaders. Like, I remember we were pretty young in youth ministry. I was pretty young in leadership. I didn't know where we were at and how to train up new people. And the people who were leading, like, I remember this one guy never knew any of the words. And so he'd be looking at this, and I guess he had bad eyes. So he'd be playing, and he'd sort of stop playing and look, and then carry on and do his thing. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help us. Like, the Spirit really needs to move in power at this point. Like, we are distracted. And so this guy shows up to be a youth leader, and he watches one set of worship. He comes to me afterwards. He says, that worship was awful. I said, yeah, but it's unto the Lord. So it's okay. You know, it's a good sound in his ears. You know, and he says, I want to start playing guitar on your team. I said, okay. I mean, there's no tryouts because you'll probably make the cut. So he gets up and he starts, and the next week he starts playing, and he's an incredible musician. He found his spot when we gathered together. Soon, because of him, we had two more people that he used to play worship with. They came out, and there was a new fire in them all of a sudden for worship. They ended up writing songs. We had this incredible time together. They made an album together. We traveled all around. We became the band that the district started using. We opened for Hillsong Worship. Like, a bunch of these cool things that started happening. It was because this guy showed up, and once we met together, he recognized, oh, that's where I fit. It's not here, it's there. Because we can't be everything. We can't just assume that we could do anything in this church. We're not all Pastor George. There we go. That was redeeming. That was redeeming for the preaching comment before. We can't all do everything. But there's something that you can do. And no one else is going to do. So you can't do nothing. And that's what happened with this guy. It's incredible when we recognize that we're the body of Christ, and we actually start to see where the body is not functioning and how we can actually take that piece and run with it. So three things are more inspirational in this large gathering. One is reality. Reality becomes more inspirational. Next is discovery. Discovering ourselves in the midst of the body helps us to recognize that we don't need to be more than we are, but we get to be who we are. And then the third is unity. This one was on my heart big time this week. This is it, I think. Reality is, as far as church goes, as far as people are concerned who are not part of faith, when they want to know who Jesus is, they're not going to go and track down a small group and figure out who Jesus is there. They're going to come and look at a church. They're going to come and look at the large gathering. And so if they come and look here, they're seeing Jesus. And I'll tell you something right away. If they see disunity in this room, then Jesus doesn't look that big. And Jesus doesn't look that great if we can't even do this together. If we can't even get together and say, we have all sorts of differences, but we are all for the same Jesus Christ. If we can't get there together, then we're missing it. And our testimony is pretty weak. And then outside of here, if we can't get along with other churches in the valley, we're going to have some problems too. People start to say, I guess denominations are what they worship rather than Jesus. People will start to say, I guess whoever Jesus is not big enough to overcome the differences that they have. We need to be serving Jesus. We need to be seeking Him together and be in unity together. And one of the great things about gathering together is the testimony becomes greater when there's more diversity. When there's more people seeing things slightly differently, and when there's young people and old people, and when there's rich people and impoverished people, and when there's people new to faith and people who've been in faith for a long, long time, and when there's people who are professionals or who have done a lot of schooling and are called doctors, and when there's people who have done very little schooling, when all of those things can come together and say, we all serve one Jesus and we have become one, there is something pretty special in that. There's a unity that takes place. And we all of a sudden have a testimony to tell. The Bible agrees with us on this one. Matthew 28:19, Jesus comes back and says, go into all the world. This is what we've been basing this series off of. Go into all the world and make disciples of who? All nations. I don't think Jesus is saying, see if you can get a convert from every nation around the world. I think He's saying this is an inclusive gospel. This is for everyone. I want everyone to know this. I don't want anyone to miss this. I don't want anyone to be kept from this. I want all people to have the chance to see what I'm showing you now. Next one, Mark 11:17. This is when Jesus gets mad. He clears out the temple. Worship team, you can come join me. Clears out the temple. He flips over tables because the people are making it difficult for the impoverished to worship Jesus. And so he comes in, flips over tables, gets angry, makes a whip. And then he starts whipping people. And maybe he doesn't whip people, but he's definitely cracking the whip. Says, get out of this place. You have wrecked this place. And these are the words he says. Is it not written that my house will be called the house of prayer for who? All nations. For all nations, for all people, isn't it said that my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? That all will become one, that every difference would become one. Next verse in Acts 2:9-11. I like this scripture. And us as sort of charismatics and Pentecostal, we like this scripture. Because it talks about tongues and it talks about when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. But when we talk about the scripture, sometimes it's a source of disunity with other denominations. We say, actually, here's how it works, and here's how tongues happens, and here's when the Holy Spirit comes. That's what it needs to look like, and that's these are the specifics. And if you don't believe that, then I don't know if you believe the gospel. But it's wild that that's happened for us. Wild that we've gotten in that place. When actually the scripture is about unity. Verse 9, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our tongues. All of these regions, all of these languages, all of these people show up and the Holy Spirit has come because the Christians were praying to God, we can't do this without you, we need something. The Holy Spirit comes and it starts pouring out of them and it's languages of unity between all of these people and they're saying the wonders of God to all of these people. All of these people were diverse even in language. They didn't even understand each other. And God brought them to unity around one thing, the wonders of God. That's incredible what happens in that moment. The first act of the Holy Spirit is to bring unity. We need to be thinking that way. We need to be figuring out how that can happen in our lives. Galatians 3:26-28 says, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is there male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. It's basically saying, any way that you have chosen to cast someone else aside, stop it. You are one. If Christ Jesus is your Lord, and you are following Him. Fifth one, 1 Corinthians 12:12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. The Bible says that when the kingdom comes in heaven, there will be a day when the lion lays with the lamb. That doesn't make sense to us, but I'm praying for us that the kingdom would come in small ways at least. That we would start to see some unity take place in such ways when diversity is so fast it gives us opportunity at unity like never before. Uniformity can happen in small groups. In fact, we're trying for it. We're going to work hard in small groups to try to put people together who are sort of in the same stage of life. If you have toddlers, it's just your schedule and your conversation and everything that you do. It just all surrounds the toddlers. If you have toddlers, you know. You try to go over to someone else's house and you chase it. This is your action. It doesn't really work at someone else's house. We already have groups, moms and tots, that we do that way. Young at Hearts. It's good for us to put people who are retired in the same stage of life, who are walking through the same things and considering the same things and dealing with grandchildren in the same way. It's good to put people like that together to talk about what does faith mean for us. That's good. But when there's less diversity, there's less opportunity for unity. And when we come into here, and the young at hearts are here, and the youth are here, and the kids are here, and the parents with toddlers are here, and all the different seasons of life are here, and we start calling the youth to serve the oldest generation, and the oldest generation to serve the youngest, and the people with kids and toddlers would be serving the middle-agers, and the empty nesters would be serving. If we start doing that, and everyone's serving, you come in and say, there must be a reason for that. And it's Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us that opportunity. Unity happens when we all serve Jesus. And unity doesn't happen as greatly without diversity. The more people we have in a room, the more diversity we have. And the greater testimony it is when all of us point one direction and say it's all about Jesus. So unity becomes a whole lot more inspirational when we gather together. When we seek Him. Unity with a bunch of people your age who think the same way as you, who you've spent a lot of time with, is not as amazing of a testimony as unity with someone. I'm not saying you need to become best friends with someone and spend all your time together. The reality is you're still different people and you still have different lives and different schedules. But if you can say, God, Jesus Christ, His blood, His life that He's given to us, and His Holy Spirit is stronger than anything that would separate us, then we've got a testimony to tell. We've got something special to tell people. And without it, we don't have as much. And the more people we have in a room who are saying the same thing, the greater testimony we have. So let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another to reality, discovery, and unity, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's just have a quick prayer and then we're going to sing out of here. Lord, we want to do what You want us to do, Lord. We don't want to be a church that just does church, just exists the way it's always existed. We don't even want to be a Northgate that's just existed the way it's always existed, Lord. We want to know what You want to do, and we want to go in that direction. And Jesus, we just believe, I just believe today that You're wanting us to grow in small ways. You're wanting us to grow in relationships. You're wanting us to grow with each other, to support each other and stand with each other and walk beside each other. You're wanting us to put the structure of small groups in place so that people can be cared for and brand new people can know where they belong in this church. But Lord, You're also wanting us to grow in big ways. God, I thank You for how loud our voice gets when we all say the same thing. I thank You for the influence that we have. I thank You that we can hear how far the story reaches when we all are together, Lord. I thank You that You represent, people here represent You in Cumberland and in Comox and in Royston and in Black Creek and in Merville, Lord, all over this area. Thank You that people are here from all of those places, Lord. Some people are visiting from Victoria and Nanaimo and Duncan and all over Canada, Lord. Thank You that we get to know how far this reaches because we all come together like this. We don't want to give up meeting like this, Lord. We want to encourage each other, love each other, cheer each other on, celebrate what You're doing, and be inspired every week to live the life You've called us to live. Help us, Jesus. as we do it. Help us to see you high and lifted up as we do it. We love you and praise you and ask that you would meet us in new and amazing ways every week. In your name we pray. Amen.